Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Lainey Zuver. Our next trapdoor story comes from April Gerard. She experienced homelessness when she was growing up, and a warning, this story does describe experiences of abuse if you need to pause and come back and listen later. April was introduced by trapdoor organizer Becca Bell. Thank you for listening.
Please welcome to the stage April Gerard.
Hello. So, you know, everybody knows, or when you see a red radio flyer wagon, you kind of feel a little nostalgia. It's the iconic picture of childhood. And for me, it's also a symbol of tenacity and perseverance and a reminder to me of the things that I have learned from my mother, even when I didn't know it. My mother had me when she was 16. She dropped out of high school. She ended up marrying someone who was much older than her because her parents said, well, you're pregnant now. We're not going to take care of you. Somebody has to. So she ended up marrying this man who was rather abusive. We didn't have the greatest experience with him. And she eventually left. Now, that led her to be a single teen mom with not just me, but my brother and sister at the time. And we moved around a lot, houses, lived in cars, trailer parks, all that kind of stuff. You name it, I've experienced it. But what mom did was she found ways to make sure that she could take care of us. One of the things that she did is, I remember, I think maybe I was 5 or 6, and we lived in a specific trailer park that is about 5.5 miles outside of the town where I now live. It is in the middle of BFE. Like, there is nothing nearby. And all she had to her name was a red wagon. Now, I don't know about you guys, but imagine taking a 5.5, 6-year-old, 2 toddlers, and occasionally garbage bags full of laundry or whatnot, and loading up that wagon and walking 5.5 miles into town, crossing a major highway just to get to the laundromat, doing whatever you need to do in town, doing the same thing to get back home with kids that have no clue and just want to be carefree. I cannot imagine walking my own kids 5.5 miles every day into town, crossing a major highway, and God forbid they be in the one piece by the time we're done. And she did this every day. And we did that to do laundry, go to the grocery store, doctor's appointments. You name it, she did it. She might not have had a driver's license. She didn't have her own car. She wasn't old enough to get a job. But she had a radio flyer wagon that she was going to pull us around and get us to wherever we needed to go so that we had the things that we needed, even if it was as simple as making sure our clothes were clean. That has stuck with me for all my life. And as we got older, you know, we progressed. I got, you know, bigger. My brother and sisters grew. And soon mom found a person that she was very interested in, and she remarried. This was another abusive relationship, and it didn't go really well for us. And I remember the day my mom chose to leave. We walked out of the house, walked down the road, and she held my hand. And I remember hearing him yelling, "Come back! Come back! It'll be better!" And I remember from my young senses that he had fallen, and I had looked back. And I'm like, "Mom! Mom, he fell. You know, We have to go back and we have to help him. And she took my hand and she said, April, don't you dare let go. Don't you let go of my hand. Don't you look back. You keep walking. And of course, I'm a kid. I don't know what's going on necessarily. I mean, I know, but I don't know, right? And that scene has stuck with me. Later, we would find out after she found a new place for us to stay, she started rebuilding her life again. And he had remarried. He remarried a woman who looked exactly like my mother, who had 3 children like my mother. And in the home that we lived in, he brought them in. He befriended them. I'm sure the same abuses went on. And in the bedroom that I used to sleep in, that was my room, he had locked their kids out of the house and they could see in the window as their argument that they had escalated. And those kids watched him stab their mother 17 times with a butcher knife. But my mom said, don't you dare let go. You keep walking and you don't look back. I think she saved my life that day. So we moved on. Up to this point, we've had a lot of stuff. And mom's continually trying her best to raise us as only a single mother knows how to do. She didn't have the education most people have. She still couldn't get the kind of job she needed to pay the bills. But by God, she was going to do it. And of course, when you're in that situation, you have to use welfare. There is no other way around it. You can't feed your kids. There's just so much wrapped up in being a low-income single mother. You have to, right? And in that time, you had to go and see the caseworker and talk about, well, how much money do you make? Do you still qualify? How do you use these food stamps? What are you going to do to get off of welfare, right? And I remember my mom saying to her caseworker, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want a job. Like, I can do things. I can do things. Let me get a job. And the caseworker looked at her and said, you can't afford to get a job. If you get a job, you will lose the food stamps, you won't be able to pay for childcare, and you won't be able to pay for the place that you're staying at. You can't get a job. You know what my mom did? She said, fuck it. I'm going to do this. And she did. By that time, I think I was in 6th, 7th grade, and my mom got her very first job. She also got her driver's license. And she also made connections with local places, and I remember a lady coming to our apartment at the time teaching my mother how to budget and line items so that I can't remember exactly what they were for, but I can remember the budget being as small as $2 for this, $5 for this. But she did it. She managed to do what she said she was going to do. And from the red radio flyer wagon pulling us, because that's all she had, walking away because she had to, and learning to do it on her own because she had to, those were things that I took with me into adulthood. So my first foray into adulthood was at 19, and as teenagers do, we often do things that, you know, maybe we shouldn't do. And mine was, this guy looks good for a night. And then I became pregnant. And I figured I had to stay with the guy because I'm pregnant, right? But I didn't know a lot about medical care and what you needed while you're pregnant. It wasn't that I wasn't smart enough, it's just there are lots of things with surviving in the world that you just don't think about all the other stuff, right? And so I went to a midwife instead of an obstetrician. And I'm saying, man, you know, I'm having kind of a lot of pain with this. And she's like, no, that's normal. It's normal. You know, your muscles are stretching, you're growing, you're creating life within you. Okay. She says, this is normal. This is all right. But it wasn't all right. 2 weeks later, I'm in the ER. What they don't tell you is that they have to send you home when you're miscarrying. Not because, you know, it's safe for them to do that. It's because they think of DNC is still considered an abortion. So they send you home to lose this baby that you weren't prepared for anyway, but you had already become attached to. And I went home, which at the time was my mother's house. And my two siblings, who were younger than me, had their friends over. And the import of what was happening to me that day didn't occur to them. So people were coming in and out of the house, and I'm laying on my mother's couch. And I'm having a baby that I'm never going to hold. And I wasn't that far along, right? So it should be okay. No. That's the other thing they don't tell you, is that a lot of times when you miscarry, it's just like going into labor. Your body goes through this whole motions. And I had that baby on my mother's couch. And my boyfriend at the time, he had to flush it down the toilet. That's the other thing they don't tell you. They don't tell you that you're never going to forget that. If I had gone to a different doctor and known better, I would have found out that I'm Rh negative, and that if I'd have just had one shot, I might not have gone through that. But I didn't know any better. So that was my first experience as an adult making mistakes. And if it hadn't have been for my mom pulling us in the wagon and saying, you know what, I don't have enough, but I'm still going to do this. So when I had that experience, and it you know, it kind of carves a hole in you. Just graduated high school and you're supposed to have a baby, but now you don't have a baby. And what are you going to do with that? You know? And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to move on. And I did. I ended up, not too long after that, having who is my first daughter, Hope is her name. That will be important later. But I ended up remarrying. I married her dad, but that didn't work out so well. We'll talk about that later. But I ended up meeting a different guy, and we married. And I spent the first 5 years of that marriage trying to figure out who I was married to, and the last 5 years trying to figure out how to get out. My whole adulthood, I knew abuse and what it looked like until I was married. And then it was like kind of the opposite of love comes softly. Well, so does abuse. It's subtle. It starts out light and then it grows. He never hit me, but I always wondered when the bullet was going to hit me. And I mean that literally, because he collected firearms and, you know, different instances, things that you never think about, you know, things that he'd say, 10, 15 calls a day, when are you coming home? You left a French fry on the floor. You need to come home and pick that up. Mind you, I'm at college taking my exams, trying to finish what I started, because that's what I do. I finish what I said I was going to do. And things like a crowbar hitting the front door because he's mad. Why are you mad? I don't get this. This makes no sense to me. Or, you know, I had a cat that was mine. And when he was mad at me, he would throw it down the basement stairs, across the room. You know, that was your fault. You shouldn't have made me mad. No, I don't think so. But it took me a long time to realize that that was not me. That was my confidence and who I am as a woman reflected in his insecurities that he didn't know how to deal with. And nobody ever tells us these things, you know? Like, we don't talk about that. So I left after 10 years of figuring out, this is not me. I left. I took my own hand this time and I said, April, don't you look back. You keep moving forward. So I did. Now, I will tell you that if I had not chosen to leave when I did, what happened 6 months later, I would not have been able to deal with. So the divorce happened in July of that year. And by Christmas, my oldest daughter, Hope, who is 10 and a half, almost 11 at this time, was diagnosed with cancer. No parent wants to hear that, ever. But I knew I could do it, is just stay focused on whatever she needed. And that's what I did. For the 2 years we went through the chemotherapy and whatever she needed. And that meant that her dad, that hadn't been around for a while, finally showed up. And he came to the chemotherapy treatments with his significant other, who I couldn't stand. But it didn't matter what I wanted. What mattered was what she needed. And what she needed was the people that she cared about to be around her. So that's what we did. And I can tell you that she's now 20 and doing great. And, you know, it's funny. I look back at this radio flyer wagon thing that to me has become more than just the iconic symbol of childhood. It's become a symbol of what my mother had instilled in me and the tenacity and the persistence that I have learned to take hold of and grab onto. Because even though I've been through a lot of these things that aren't necessarily pretty, I'm still a woman and I'm still amazingly talented and can do whatever I want to despite these things, right? Which is what led me to this authorship journey that I've been on. All of that would not have been possible without my mother. And even though, you know, I look back on it and I'm like, man, why was I so mad at her all the time? I'm really, really grateful for the tenaciousness and the persistence and the strength of will that she embodied and taught me to do as well. Thank you.